There's a tactic in sales that lots of sales reps aren't using. Now, they might not be using it for a lot of reasons. It might be because it's very basic. It might be because it seems like it's a lot of extra work. But at the very least, the ones who are using this tactic are probably not using it at the level that they should. So today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to talk about a tactic in sales that a lot of people just blow off, and it's like anything else in sales. I mean, I think a lot of us are guilty of blowing things off because it just seems very obvious, or we're so busy saying, yeah, I know that, or duh, or that's sales 101. So that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are not using this tactic that we're going to talk about today. And those who are using the tactic, I believe they're only using it at just a real surface level. So by now you're probably wondering, okay, what is he talking about? I wish this guy would get to the damn point. I'm talking about the use of recaps after you have a meeting with a potential client. You could do it with your existing clients too. But in this context today, we're gonna talk more about prospects, potential clients. And just to get the obvious stuff out of the way on why you should use recaps, because we're really not going to spend time in the obvious stuff today. You're going to, every one of these reasons that I give you over the next like 30 seconds for or a minute or whatever it's going to take, you're going to say duh. I say duh whenever I think about these reasons. But then we're going to take a much deeper dive into this. So you have to bear with me. So the obvious reasons why you want to use a recap afterwards, well, yeah, it's good business etiquette. It helps you position yourself as a professional. It shows that you have this attention to detail. Hey, and not to forget, you're showing them that they were heard. Everybody wants to make sure that they've been heard, right? But now, there's a much deeper level to this, and I want to take that deeper dive into this. I only have a few things for you today. It's going to be a much shorter podcast for a real serious reason. This is serious stuff. It's Sunday out here, and that's the day I usually record my podcast, and it's going to be in the 50s today. It probably already is. It's beautiful out, and I'm thinking it's prime weather for me to go outside and have a damn cigar. So if you don't mind, I really have to do a little bit of balancing today. So reason number one why you want to use these recaps is because it helps trigger emotions, specifically brings them back to the emotional state that they were in when they were considering making a change. And hopefully that same emotional state that you were able to bring them back to when you did your needs analysis. That's a whole other podcast we should be doing. The emotional power of questions. So now what I want to do is I want to throw two examples at you so you can understand where I'm going with this whole thing. And I want you to think about a time when you were telling someone a story about or giving, and I don't mean like making something up, but you're telling them about something that happened to you that was less than pleasant. For a lot of us who are road warriors, we talk about airports and maybe getting stuck in the airport. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with somebody the other day, and they were telling the story about this bargain airlines that will remain nameless and how they are just notorious for canceling flights. And not only did they cancel his flight, but the flights were delayed 15 hours after that, like while they were trying to get their act together. Now, as he told that story, he became pissed off all over again, as if it were happening now. Isn't that a typical thing that happens when you tell a story about something? Maybe it was just real crappy service at a restaurant. It could be a purchase that you made where you felt that you were ripped off. Or again, a service issue, or somebody was supposed to do something in a business transaction and they screwed you over. You're not going to be pleasant about it. You're going to go right back to that mental state that you were in at that time. Now, let's talk, that's the negative side of this. I want to just throw a positive side to this at you and then talk about how this plays into the recap. The other day, I was at, and this is going to shock you because I know sooner, tell you how I want to hurry through this podcast today, so I go outside to have a cigar. I have an example from the damn cigar store that I go to. So yesterday, I was thrown out of the house by Mrs. Uncle Paul. Seriously, I get thrown out of my own house every so often by her. And the reason why she throws me out of the house, it's nothing bad, nothing for you guys to worry about. I'm not going to be calling you guys up saying, "Could you put me up? Let me crash at your place for a while. Having trouble with the missus." No, whenever she wants to give the place a complete top to bottom cleaning, she wants me the hell out of the house. She just works better that way. So I always do my part to contribute to the cause by going to the cigar lounge and just hanging out there all afternoon. It's tough, and I know it's a sacrifice, but anything I can do to help my wife. So I'm at the cigar lounge yesterday, having a good old time and having a nice conversation. And I feel a need to do a very quick shout out because they ended up by subscribing to my podcast yesterday. Shout out to Brendan and Brandon. And no doubt, I kept calling them the wrong name. So no gold star for me there. But anyway, we just got into this really cool conversation. And I don't know how it led to this whole part, but they started talking about the book Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, I think it is. And it was amazing to watch how they transformed while they were telling me about the book. First of all, they were nice people, a lot of energy, but they went up like 10x their energy level when they started talking about the book. Really super passionate about it. It was as if they were reliving all the positive nuggets that they got from the book. And they truly were. It changed their whole emotional state. And that's what I'm talking about here. We need to work both emotions several times throughout the entire sales cycle. We have to play on the pain part of it. And we have to get them to access the pain of not having the solution that we can provide. Even the pain of what could happen in the future if they don't change something now. You guys get the idea. But also, by the same token, we also want to trigger the positive types of things. And it could be things like greater productivity. I mean, you could say, well, that's a painful thing. Well, what if they're doing well with the productivity and they just simply can do better because of your solution? Or what about happier shareholders? Again, you might say, Paul, that's painful. Well, what if their shareholders are already happy? You just want to bring it up another level. You guys get the idea. So you want to work both of those. So the recap can bring them back to that emotional state or those emotional states. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the little tricks, and please, if you are driving, this is a great moment for you to pull over and write this down. This is a huge thing that a lot of people aren't doing in their recaps. You want to use your prospects' exact words and phrases. There's a lot of reasons why you want to do that. You want to use their exact words and phrases. One of the reasons why you're doing this is because it's going to trigger that emotional state. These are the words they used when they were in that emotional state. So it, boom, it brings them back. The other reason why you want to use their exact words and phrases, it's very hard for them to object to something that they have expressed as being the truth. So you're really going to create now an objection-resistant dialogue because it's their words and phrases. And then the final thing, and we're just going to do a gloss over on this, It's a very powerful psychological technique when you use their words and phrases. And in NLP, they refer to it as mirroring. And you probably know mirroring from more of a body language type of context, where I lean back, you lean back. I tilt my head to the side, you tilt your head to the side. See, the problem with that type of mirroring is that it's been around for a while, and most people suck at it, and they end up by looking like a freaking mime, and it's highly detectable. But when you mirror other things, like their words and phrases, I'm telling you, it's undetectable. But what makes it powerful and what makes it a really, really strong rapport building technique is because people love people who are exactly like themselves. So there you are using their words and phrases, which I recommend you put in quotes, by the way, so they know that you're quoting them. But there's going to be something about you that's going to help them connect with you. And it's going to be more on a subconscious level, which, by the way, I maintain our best relationships are at the subconscious level, where you know that you like this person, love this person, care for this person. But when you really have to describe why, it's more of a feeling that's inside in your heart and not necessarily something that you could really put words to. So now that we can check the deep shit conversation off our list here, let's move on to the next benefit of sending recaps. It allows you to take control, gently take control of your deal and tighten the leash. How? Well, you can remind everyone of the homework that they've committed to and the timelines. Now, you might be thinking, what are you talking about here, homework? That's one of the things I've talked about a lot here on this podcast, how one of the things that I do as an insurance policy, if you will, every meeting that I have with a prospect, at the end of the meeting, I'll say something like, well, I've got my homework cut out for me. Here's what I need to do, and here's when you can expect it. So I start with myself, because nobody ever gets mad at you for giving yourself homework. I always make the bad joke of saying that they'll probably give you extra things to add to the list. But then what you need to do is say, okay, fair's fair. I've got my homework. Here's your homework. And you give them the things that they need to commit to, and you give them the timelines that are involved in it. This keeps your deal moving forward. It gives you an early warning signal if somebody becomes like they're not as engaged as they should be, or they're just starting to go silent and in the process of beginning the ghosting process. So if now we have these commitments and the homework, if you will, in the meetings, the recap is beautiful because it reminds people of what has to be done. And once again, you're going to start with yourself. Here's what we agreed on. By this date, I'm going to get you A, B, and C. By this date, you're going to have these things as well. Here's what you committed to. Or if there's multiple people, you put the names of the people in the meeting and what they committed to. See, this keeps things moving forward. But what it also does on a subconscious level is it lets them know that you are taking control in a way without being controlling or manipulative, and that you're holding them accountable. This isn't going to be something where you're going to tell me you're going to do things and you're not going to do it. Now, I'm not implying that, okay, and if you don't do it, I'm going to go there with a baseball bat and break your freaking legs. I'm not saying that. But what I am putting out there to them by reiterating what we talked about is that when we make commitments, I expect you to hold me accountable, but guess what? I'm holding you accountable as well. So that's the second thing that it does. It allows you to tighten the leash, take some gentle control of your deal. The third thing, and we're almost done, we have about two things to go. The third thing is that it allows you to stay top of mind between meetings without any of that god-awful calling to check in stuff. Most of the time when I talk to people about why we shouldn't call to quote unquote check in, a lot of people will say to me, okay, genius, so what are we supposed to say? And this is one of the things that you could, and we're not just calling to follow up. We should be utilizing multiple forms of outreach so that what's happening is we're bumping into them subtly in different places, like Email. Yes, of course, the phone. If you have the type of relationship where text messages are fine, text messages. Through snail mail and FedEx. It could be dropping something off. It could be over on LinkedIn. It could be through content. So that we can establish that word that I always love to use, propinquity, which is that nearness and closeness and kinship thing that's so important in the sales process. So that's what we want to be doing. So again, the recap is a nice way of staying top of mind without doing the typical types of stuff. Now, the final thing that I want to talk, I do want to mention one other thing because I didn't say this before. That time between meetings is a critical time for you and a critical time for sales reps because I believe it's when we're at our most vulnerable point of the sales process, of the sales cycle. Because when I'm face to face with you, I can read you. Facial expressions, body language. If I have a question, I can immediately ask you. You can't run and hide from me. I am right there with you. I can address your concerns. You can bring something up to me just by me being there. Oh, that reminds me, Paul. What about this, this, and this? But now, once we're not in the room anymore together, you are now, or your prospect is now in this situation where other people now can influence that sale. It could be other stakeholders. It could be your competitors whispering in their ear. They can also become guilty of that bright, shiny object thing where lots of things going on in their world and they were hot and heavy about doing this yesterday, but now a new bright, shiny object has come along and that's no longer something important to them. They move on to the next thing. We've all had that happen where, wow, that kind of conked out kind of fast, right? The opposite of Anchorman. You remember that after that brawl that they had? Wow, that escalated quickly. In this case, it's like it didn't escalate at all. Because of that time between meetings, we can lose that momentum. So it's very important that we have a stay in touch program. And this is one of the things that's going to help you stay in touch. And that brings us to the final point here. The final point on why, or the final benefit, if you will, of a recap, it's yet another way for you to embrace the power of repetition. Repetition is very, very important throughout your sales cycle. And I'll tell you why. Many of us are guilty of making a point, a selling point, if you will, in a meeting, seeing everybody light up and just pounce on it and loving that feature, that benefit, your service department, whatever the heck it is, loving it. But then we leave it almost to chance that they are going to retain that. And we forget that just in a typical day, you have all kinds of things coming at people between all the ads that they're exposed to during the day, all the phone calls, all the emails, all the content that they consume. You've heard me beat the hell out of those statistics and studies on those very areas. So I'm going to spare you today. Also, too, I want to get back to that damn cigar that I promised myself. But seriously, so there are certain things that have to be repeated throughout the process without being repetitious, without seeming like, oh my gosh, dude keeps like he's a broken record. You don't want to come across with that. But still, there are things that need to be repeated throughout the process. It could be something that they really lit up when you talked about it. Well, you could use the recap to make sure that you emphasize that you're going to be preparing some things around that feature benefit, that type of thing, around that solution. So that's why it's important to think. Going back to, like, let's kind of go in a time machine for a minute. Back to the moment when that needs analysis appointment or whatever, discovery call ended. After that call, after that meeting, you want to think about, okay, what are some of the things that I want to repeat throughout this process? And then you could decide on the different ways to do it. You see, that's what keeps it from seeming like you're being very, very repetitious. If in one instance I am reiterating some of my selling points or things that you're passionate about, even better yet, in your words and phrases, in a recap, And then maybe I'm on a phone call with you and I find a way to reinforce that point again. Perhaps there's some content that I have that would emphasize that particular thing that you were passionate about. The more I do it, the higher the probability that you're going to retain that. And I think this is a big problem that many of us are really underestimating in sales today. A lot of the time we have these conversations, hey, has sales changed? And it's probably the wrong question. I've been guilty of asking the wrong question, like all of us have, because the basic nature of sales hasn't changed. But the manner in which we facilitate the sales process and the manner in which the decision-making process is facilitated has changed dramatically. And the thing that we never really think about is just how we're living in this world of constant distraction, of constant noise. So we really have to think about and be very, very mindful of this concept of how can I reiterate these selling points that they love, they lit up. Going back to what we said before, how those people that were telling me about that book, Can't Hurt Me, they lit up and they became animated and really, really passionate, talking more rapidly and so excited. How can we, when we have those moments, bring them back there? Because whenever we can get them back to those things that they're very positive about, and bring them back to the things where, not necessarily negative about, but things that just represented pain for them, that they're trying to get away from or stop or reduce or perhaps eliminate the probability of it happening in the future. To me, that's truly taking control of your sales cycle. And that's what I have for you today. So a really quick recap. Really quick recap on recap. How crazy is that? Number one, start using recaps, not just because that's what you're supposed to do. Understand the psychological and strategic reasons. Number two, make sure you're using their words and phrases. Number three, keep the deal moving forward by reminding everyone of their homework, including yourself, and the timelines. The timelines are so important, otherwise it's just open-ended. There's no accountability there. And it's kind of, yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. No, we want to keep urgency in our deals. So those three things I want you to focus on, okay? Now, there's a lot more to this. I want to let you know, this is just scratching the surface. There's a lot more to this, including different types of recaps and a different way to package the recap. I'm going to be sharing it during the webinar that we're going to be doing on April 4th from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't make it, you guys know the deal with me. Sign up anyway, and I'll send you, I almost said the recap, I'll send you the webinar replay so you can basically do it whenever you want. So to learn more about this, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up. And that's going to be all lowercase, one word, yoursalesplaybook.com/follow-up. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.